Good morning. This is Denny Heflin in Audubon at the Farm Service Agency, bringing you the last USDA report for 2012. Well, at this time, we, like everybody else, are uncertain about what Congress will do about writing a new farm bill or possibly extending the existing farm bill. So the rehashing of all the FSA program procedures is kind of an uncertainty itself. However, there are several carryover procedures that everyone should be aware of. These include some changes to the IRS Form 1099-Gs for calendar year 2012. In the past, the 1099-G was issued to show all program payments received from the Farm Service Agency, regardless of the amount. For 2012, the 1099-G reporting will change in the fact that this report of payments will only be issued to producers whose reportable payment totals are $600 or more for the calendar year. Also, if that producer has at least $600 in reportable payments received from multiple FSA offices, they will receive only one 1099-G. So, you need to be aware of the changes for this year, and any producer who receives less than $600 in combined payments should consult their tax advisor to determine if the payments must be reported on their tax return. For information regarding the IRS reporting changes, you may contact your county FSA offices. Also, the ceiling of grain or market loans are part of FSA's business, and the 2012 crop, some of it has been sealed. And I'd like to remind producers that bins are ideally designed to hold a level volume of grain. And when they're overfilled and the grain is heaped up, airflow is hindered if you're trying to keep air on that grain to keep the condition. Also, due to last week's snowstorm, snow may have blown into several of the bins, and therefore I would recommend that you or someone check those bins for the condition and any snow content that may be present in there. Producers who take out marketing assistance loans with FSA and use them as the collateral should remember that they are responsible for maintaining the quality of that grain for the entire term of the loan. Another item to go along with the ceiling of grain is that if it's, you are using it and feeding, you need to buy that back before you feed or sell any of that grain. Otherwise, it'll be known as unauthorized disposition. The financial penalties for the unauthorized disposition are severe, and a producer's name will be placed on the loan violation list for a two-year period. So one rule of thumb is to remember to always call the FSA office before you haul or feed any of the grain that you may have sealed under a marketing assistance loan. We are getting some questions on the Census of Agriculture that is being mailed out. The Iowa farmers have started to receive those censuses in the mail. They have an opportunity to make a positive impact on the farming industry and their communities by taking part in the 2012 Census of Agriculture. This census is conducted every 5 years by the National Agricultural Statistics Service, or NAS, as we call it, and the census is a complete count of all U.S. farms, ranches, and those who operate them. Your answers to the census may impact farm programs and rural services that support your community. NAS began to mail those census forms out in late December, and they need to be completed and returned by the deadline of February 4th, 2013. Producers can fill out the censuses online via the secure website at www.agcensus.usda.gov, or they can return the hard copy in the mail to the Census Bureau. Federal law does require that NAS keep this information confidential. So for more information, you can visit the previously stated website, agcensus.usda.gov, or a phone number for information and assistance would be 1-888-424-7828. Remember, the Census of Agriculture is your voice for your future and your responsibility. This is the time of year that several transactions of land sales and changes of ownership are taking place. And at the FSA office, we take this opportunity to make those recordings with farm reconstitutions. There are four ways that a farm reconstitution takes place here at the FSA office. We use the estate method, the division by landowner method, the DCP cropland method, or a default method. The estate method is simply a division of the crop acreage bases on the farm for that parent farm among the heirs in settling the estate. The designation of by the landowner method may be used when part or all of a farm is sold or transferred to another party. In order to use this method, the land sold must have been owned for at least 3 years, and the buyer and seller must both be in agreement and sign a memorandum of understanding for the division of the crop acreage basis. The DCP cropland method is simply a method of dividing the bases according to the proportion of DCP cropland on each of the resulting tracts. Kind of an example of that would be if there was a 100-acre farm and somebody bought 40 acres of it and somebody bought 60, we'd divide it in a 60-40 split. The last method is the default method, and this is the division of bases for a parent farm, with each tract maintaining the base amount of acreage credit that they received from previous reconstitutions when they were combined. So when you are selling land, there are some options to choose how to have the crop acreage bases divided. One final reminder today is to let you know that all FSA and NRCS offices will be closed next Tuesday, January 1st for New Year's, and the service centers will reopen January 2nd at 8 o'clock. Last week, due to the snowstorm, most offices in the area had to close. So again, it would be a good idea to listen to this radio station or get on their website and check for office closures if we have inclement weather, because we don't want our people out on the road and we don't want you out on the road during foul weather like that. So again, look at the website on KJAN to see if there may be any office closures. For this week, this has been Denny Heflin with this week's USD Report. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next year.